Well, hello, everyone. I hope everyone's having a great morning, great afternoon, great evening, wherever you are on this big, beautiful blue planet. You know, it's one of the things I like about doing these shows. We truly go out to everywhere around the world, which is nice. I mean, we're in all the time zones. Now, if this was UFO Undercover, it actually goes out to all 200 countries on the planet. We even go out to North Korea. This show is a Joe Montalvo show. It probably goes out to about 140, 150 countries. So if you're out there and you're listening to us, if you're in Iran, Iraq, you know, hi, how y'all doing over there? Saudi Arabia, how you doing? Pakistan, Venezuela. I know, all the rough countries. And of course, America. We go to 400 American cities. So, you know, I say that, and I want y'all to remember, people, some of them cities got like 8 people in them. They're not like all 400 cities have like 5,000, 500,000 people. It's not how it works, but we go to every major city in the United States plus a whole bunch more. So, and what's nice about that is word of mouth is a good way for advertisement, and small towns have a tendency to have good word of mouth. So if you're out there listening to us in one of the cities in the United States, I hope you're having a good time. By the way, if you're in Iraq, I mean, in Ukraine right now, hello. I know we have, yesterday we had 44,000 people listening to you in Ukraine. So how you doing? We weren't even talking about the war in any shape, form, or fashion. Currently, Russia is fifth on our list with 2 million monthly listeners. And we're not talking about the war. I know, it's kind of strange. Well, we actually had more than that before the war started. The numbers are actually bigger than that. Russia had actually, for the worldwide audience, it actually taken number one a couple of times. Currently, right now, for the worldwide audience, it's Israel has the largest audience listening to us right now. Don't ask me why. I have no idea. We're not talking about God or religion or any other thing. Jackie, we do have some Jewish hosts, but I don't think that has anything to do with it. So, I know I get this question a lot, so I'm going to go ahead and answer before we get started. I introduce our guest. Yes, we represent, I think, 14 different denominations on that show and 5 different political environments. So when I developed this network 24 years ago, I decided that I didn't want a cookie-cutter network. I didn't want people to have to follow my politics to be on the network or whatever my spiritual or religious views was. I didn't want that. It's not really what I wanted in a network. I wanted a network that represented as many people as we could possibly represent. Male, female, didn't matter what color you were, what persuasion. No, none of that matters. We don't care what country you are. Currently, we represent 6 different countries. So, yes, we have hosts from 6. Well, we have a lot of Canadian hosts. I think we have 7. I think currently we have 5 or 6 hosts from the UK, 2 from Australia, 1 from South America, and I'm missing somebody somewhere. But whoever you are, I apologize. You know, I'm getting old, so my brain don't work as well as it used to. But anyway, we had a great guest on for tonight. He's one of the other winners from Writers of the Future. He was up there looking all dapper in his tuxedo. You know, I love talking to these guys after the fact because, you know, I know getting up on that stage has to be nerve-wracking. So tonight's guest is TJ Knight. TJ, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to see you, Joe.
So before we get into your story, just give them the title of your story, and then we're going to come back to that in a minute.
Yeah, no problem. It's The Fall of Crodendra M. The fall being...
Yeah, the M always throws me off, by the way.
Yeah, that's it. The fall being the imminent destruction of a planet. So I'll tell you more later.
Yeah, we're gonna get back into it, and then while we're talking, we're going to hunt up the artwork that goes with it. So this isn't the artwork that goes with his story. I'm just showing, but we'll be showing y'all some of it as we go through. This is book 39. This is the one he is in right here. Yes, yes, this is a good book. Y'all should get out and read it. There, all the stories in here I enjoyed. So real quick, I've read from book 29 to book 39. So the last 4 to me are the best, but you did not hear me say that, okay? Because I got to talk with a lot of these other hosts. I mean, a lot of these other authors and illustrators. I don't know why. Maybe it's from when I came into the system. But whatever it was, it's really, really enjoyable. So, TJ, now I've seen you up on the stage, man. So, first off, how many times did y'all get to practice before y'all went up there?
0. But it's like, we practiced out on our own all we wanted. And we had a kind of a dress rehearsal or an undress rehearsal the night before. Yeah, we walked across the stage and we spoke hello into the microphone, and then that was it. So as far as preparation for the actual speech in front of actual people, that was 0. But I practiced in the mirror plenty of times.
Well, no, that's a good thing to do. I've had to get on stage many times in my life, and sometimes it can be nerve-wracking. Most of the time, it doesn't bother me, but the very first time I did, I would say it made me nervous. But after that, it becomes old hat pretty fast. But so, I mean, you're looking out at the audience, you think, I mean, you looked good, you looked happy. If y'all don't know, there's some pictures of me floating around. There's some on the website. The opening pick for the show for the night is actually him standing on stage. So you got to go see. He's a handsome young man standing up there doing his thing. So first off, before we even get back to you standing on the stage, so how did you feel when Joni called you? Did you think, oh my God, she's telling me I lost? Or what did you feel like when she called you?
Well, the thing is, I'd had two finalists previously. So I'd had her call me twice and tell me I did not win. So I was really hoping that the third time would be the charm, but I was also thinking that it really could go either way. So I was lower, my expectations were a little lower. And I'll tell you, she called me on election day, and I was doing poll work that day. And in New York, poll work goes from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they want us there at the polling station at 5 a.m. So I had been at the polling station from 5 a.m., and I didn't get to talk to her until after polling was done at 9 p.m. And so I had heard around 6 p.m., my wife sent me a text and said, Joni called, left you a message. But I didn't know what it was. And I had to wait 3 more hours until after polling before I could use my phone.
That had to be terror, man. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be laughing, but I mean, I know how it's got to feel. You know, you got to be like, did I win? Did I not win? Did I lose? Oh, shit. Why'd she call me now? I don't know if I could have waited 3 hours.
Yeah. So there's a lot of waiting overall, but that when you know the result, I mean, the ultimate result is in. And I still didn't know my fate for another 3+ hours. And then I called and she didn't answer. I left a message.
Oh, shit.
So I had to wait even longer. But it wasn't
this
long.
This is like torture.
Yeah, it wasn't too long. Maybe it was 5-10 minutes or so. She called me back and told me I had third place, and that's what I was waiting all that time for.
I mean, well, first of all, I know a lot of y'all don't know who Joni is who are listening to. Most of you should not be getting familiar with this. We've been talking about it for about 4 years, but Joni is like the event coordinator. She's like third and in charge of everything, but she's the one who calls and tells you if you've won, if you're honorable mention. They always call. They do it differently than most other places do. So at least you know you're going to get some type of call. And sometimes if your story's not quite right, they may actually offer some help to get it better, or just tell you, hey, look, you were right there. You were right there. Don't give up, because you know some people give up when they lose, and you can't give up when you lose, man. Half the money I made in my life, I wouldn't have made if I'd have thought like that. You just can't give up, people. And you can submit, what, 4 times a year, right? Yeah, 4 times a year.
Yeah.
So, I know one person who submitted 39 times and won. Pretty rough. Oh, by the way, how many did you submit? 4, 5, 6?
32.
How many?
32.
Oh, you're up there with his name went out of my head.
Houston.
Preston Dennett. Yeah, I think he was like 40. There's been a few people. So this is kind of strange for me. So when I'm talking with y'all, with the authors versus the illustrators, the authors tend to take a little longer to get in than the illustrators do. I notice a lot more first wins in the illustrator categories, and a lot younger for that matter, and a lot of, you know, 1, 5, 3, 7 like that. With the authors, I've noticed it really is like 14 attempts and up. A lot of people I met, and I was there for books 36 and 37 because it was a COVID year and he had 2 going on. Most of the authors I had talked to were over 20 tries. So I guess it's just tougher when you're – I mean, let's be honest. I got all the respect in the world for great illustrators. I don't want to take anything away from them because they're great illustrators. But putting a book together is a pain in the ass. You know, I'm not saying putting art isn't either. People don't hate on me, but I mean – You put a book together and you read it, or you put a story together and you read it, or a novella and you read it, and you think, okay, maybe, do you give it some friends? Do you have any of those clubs where y'all share your books around, or your stories around? I keep saying books, I should say stories.
Yeah, the short stories are a lot easier to critique each other's short stories. One of the most famous sites is called Critters. I think it's critters.org. I don't go there, but that is probably the most popular site for swapping stories. But since I was so focused on Writers of the Future itself, I went to the Writers of the Future forum and swapped stories with other people who were also trying to get published in this book. So we looked out for each other and knew more about this contest than somebody at Critters who would read the story perhaps differently than somebody on the forum.
That makes sense. And I know because, you know, Wolf's got – he's over there with his with the Wolf Pack, as they like to call themselves. We're talking about Wolf Moon, guys. He's an author in his own right. And he does a lot over there. And he does a lot of critiquing. He does a lot of writing. They have that entire group over there that are trying to help people get their books in or trying to get a book in is what I should say. I always enjoy talking with him. He's just a lot of fun to talk to. But he's there, and I see a lot of other people there. Well, Jackie, is that what you're asking? Actually, I have taken the course. Yes, the only thing I haven't completed on the course is actually physically writing a story, which Emily reminds me about every time I talk to her. So she does. I'm sorry. She gives me nothing but trouble about have you wrote that last piece of that story yet so you can finish it up? And the reason I bring this up, people, is because there is a lot on that website, on writersofthefuture.com. There's a lot of stuff there. If you're an up-and-coming author or an up-and-coming illustrator, for that matter, there's a lot of information you can get out of there. But if you're an author, it is packed with information. And plus, there's some videos there for some really great authors who have got some big name recognition and some big movies behind them or some big books behind them. So you've always got that as well. So let me ask you this, TJ. So you were there. Did you find the other authors, I should say the judges, obtainable, easy to talk to, or were they hard to get around?
Oh, no, they were great. And most times when we would break for lunch or dinner, whoever was speaking to us at the time, they would tell us where they were going. Yeah. And they'd say, I'm going to go down to the pizza place if anyone wants to come along. And that was pretty cool. So half the time, half the folks went with them. And some people broke off into their own private groups to get to know each other a little better. But yeah, there was almost always a judge. And I shouldn't say a judge. I should say one of the speakers at the time going to lunch or going to dinner that we could just pal around with.
Yeah, they're a great group of people over there. The first year I was there with them, I was really surprised at how obtainable, how easy it was to talk to any of the speakers, any of the judges. Anybody who was there was pretty easy to talk to. They didn't get aggravated. And, you know, being that I've been with them 4 years now, I've heard the same question asked half a million times. And I know myself when I'm lecturing, a lot of times I'll get a lot of the same questions asked. And in the back of your head, you want to get aggravated about it, but you really can't because that's what you're there for. And I notice with these guys, they're nice, they're polite, they're on cue, they're giving you out as much information as they can, and it's free. You know, a friend of mine asked me if you put a course together with all these people in it, these different speakers and authors, what it would cost to attend. I said it'd be expensive, dude. I said it would be expensive. I mean, I just hate to say this. I said, we got the guy from Dune there. We got Orson Scott Card there who wrote Ender's Game. We've got TJ Powers who wrote some of the Caribbean movies. I'm like, and there's a bunch more besides that. I'm just popping them off. I'm saying, yeah, it might be a little bit of money to attend that course. And plus just getting them there to do it would be a job in itself. But they're great guys, all of them. Everybody I've met has been really nice, and they tolerate me. And you have to remember, I'm not a winner. I'm just press running around. So, you know, press can be aggravating. And they all have been very kind, very nice. Matter of fact, now that I've been with them 4 years, I'm just part of the family over there. So they just ignore me when I'm running around. So I get to hear a lot. Well, they know they can trust me. I'm not just going to go publishing stuff that shouldn't be published. Right. And but it's been a lot of fun. So tell me a little bit about your story. What, first off, so this is your third one being submitted. So we know you've been trying. So guys and girls, I want you to pay attention to this because this tells you as long as you keep trying, you can win. So this young man put it together. Well, I shouldn't call you a young man. We're calling him middleman. Still.
Middleman.
We put it, you know, like out of one of those movies. But he put this together and he won. So when did you win? So what was it? Which quarter was it?
This was the fourth quarter of the volume 39, and I came in third.
You just like to torture yourself, don't you? I'm sorry. You just seem like you like to torture. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's all right. I liked it. I've told people that I was the final winner. I came in last place because it was the third place story in the fourth quarter. So I was joking with people. I told them I just squeaked in. And then they would quickly admonish me and say, no, your story won. Your story won. But I was more joking about the position, the 12th position in there. Yeah. That's more what I was joking about.
Well, one thing I've noticed about these stories is you don't get in if you're sloppy. Whoops, what did I do here? Sorry, guys. I just sent my – well, there we go. You don't get in if you're sloppy or you're not a good author. I've read enough of the stories now that, you know, these are all sellable stories that are in these books. And y'all get to keep copyright on, right? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, they get first publication right, and then it goes right back to me.
So, I mean, all these stories are sellable. You know, I'm sure they could be sold in short story form or in other forms, or I'm sure they could be added on to. But still, I mean, everything in here was good. I just really enjoyed all the stories. My biggest problem is they're cramming so much in my head when I'm doing this. And this year, so usually I get the book ahead of time. So it's sent to my house, and I read it. And then I read it again, and then I read it on the airplane coming in, so all the stories stay in my head. This year, that's not how it worked. This year, I got there, and I handed me the book up. So you're kidding me, right?
Oh, good luck.
You know, well, because I want to remember everybody's stories. I want to keep them straight in my head. That's just not going to happen when you do it that way. Besides that, I like to know what I'm talking about when we're talking with different guests, you know, just because some stories you're going to like better, some stories you're not. So I got to be honest. I've picked the last 4 years who was going to win, who was going to, you know, for illustration. I was wrong every time. So, people, if you hear me pick an author, just consider they done lost because I just suck at it. I don't know why. I mean, like this year, I wasn't even close. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the story that won. I'm not going to lie. And I like the artwork. I just didn't think they were going to be the one who won. So when you get in here, he's on page 329. If you have the book already, if you haven't already read it, go have it upside down. No, I don't. Okay. So there it is right there. Oh, look, there's an autograph in there. Oh, shit, people.
Yay, that's me.
You're not getting this book because it's autographed. So before anybody asks, it ain't going to happen. They always want the autographed ones. So I'll show you the illustration in a little while. It was, who did it? Wait, it says right here. Chris Harris did it, so. No, I'll show it to you in a little while.
Well, I just want to point out when you say picking the winner, you're talking about the grand prize winner.
Yeah.
So the grand prize winner with the art, all 12 artists draw a new picture to match the story, and all 12 of them have an equal chance of winning the grand prize.
Yep.
And so you can pick from any of the 12 stories, but the authors, only the top story from each quarter is considered for the grand prize. So it's 4 stories to choose from on the author side, but all 12 images can be the grand prize winner. So that's a boon for artists. If you get in, then you start back at zero and you have a 1 in 12 chance of getting that grand prize just like that.
You know, I asked one time, why didn't they use the 24-hour story to pick the big winner? They didn't like that.
That'd be pressure. Well,
come on. I mean, but they shouldn't even tell y'all. So in case y'all don't know, while I'm talking to TJ, TJ knows because he had to do this. They give you what, like something. No telling what they're going to give you. It could be a rock. It could be anything. And tell you to write a story in 24 hours. They said, well, we'll see you back this time tomorrow is what they tell them. So what did you think when Tim Powers, or who was Jody? It was Jody Knight. It was in there, right? So what did you think when they did this? Were you like, no, this ain't going to happen, people. 24 hours to do what? You want to what in 24 hours? I have seen, since I've been there, I've seen authors' faces just go blank. Like, what the hell did he just say? And I've seen other people like, no problem. I'll do it. No problem. And I have seen some people stress all the way down to the line. And I've seen some people turn it in a couple of hours or have it ready in a couple of hours. I have no idea how they do it. Because Tim Powers had me last year, he had me spying on people. We were at the Roosevelt, and he said, look, I want you to just get as many shots as you can. Because a lot of people, for some reason at the Roosevelt, we had a different kind of lobby. So a lot of people would sit in the lobby and work on their stories. And it was just insane to watch these people's faces. I mean, they'd get together and talk and try to work out ideas and stuff, or get somebody to help them think about something. But in general, they were just sitting there, and they either had their pen and paper in their thing, their laptop, their pad, whatever they were going to write on, they had it there. And some of them, you could clearly see it, because, you know, I had the camera with me. You could clearly see it in their face.
Sorry, I'm still not sure about that.
Really?
And I'm not sure I understand.
Okay, guys, I guess Siri wanted in on the conversation. I'm not exactly sure.
Joe is not alone.
I'm beginning to worry about Siri here. People just start, you know, I'm not kidding y'all. One night we were doing radio, and Siri started talking to Alexa in the other room. Look, there she goes again. And you're not even cued to come up on your name. What the hell is that? I don't know. Is somebody hacking my phone? People, stay away from my phone. The cover art, by the way, is done by a friend of mine, Tom Wood. He's been on the show a couple of times, and the dragon man. So, what kind of story did you come up with for the 24 hours? I'm just nosy. I can't help myself.
Yeah, no problem. I have a kind of log line for my 24 hour story. Is a woman tells a story to a corpse in third person.
Wait, say that again. That just caught my attention totally when you said it. Say that again. I just want to make sure I heard what you said. Yeah.
All right. So it's a woman tells a story to a corpse in third person.
Now I wish I would have read that. Did they keep these things? I'm going to have to call it.
I still have it. I'm going to try to get it published out there somewhere. So
when you get it published, send me a copy, because I don't want you to send it to my email, because somebody's liable to get it and use it. So, but if you get it published, or if you decide to send it out, send it to my email at icarcox.net. So who does Chris Harris, as I said? Oh, yeah, here it is right here. Oh, yeah. So this is the art. Now, you have to remember, people, they're not really understand. They get to read the book. I mean, they get to read the story, and then they get to do the artwork, but they have never met the artist, or the illustrator and artist don't get to meet until the day of what they call the great reveal. Now, let me turn this so y'all can see this a little better. Let's get it up a little closer. Let's say, so this is the artwork. It's the one right here. Oops, wrong song. Sorry. This side over here. Yeah, so this is the artwork for his story.
There's the asteroid coming down.
Yeah, you see it up there. Now, what do you mean? Oh, Johnny Kemp wants to know what the live is about. The live on this one over here, it says live up there.
Yes, this is actually being broadcast. Even though he's on another planet, our telescopes are so strong that we can see other planets. And so it's about interstellar entertainment. However, in this particular case, the telescope is aimed through a wormhole, and everything we see, instead of being light years in the past, is happening. So this guy, this Earth guy, he travels up to this planet because he can go through the wormhole to say goodbye to them. And he, as you can see, he's hauling, you know what, to get out of there.
Yes, I see that. That's pretty good. So now we get to see all of these the day of the reveal. So I got to say, after meeting, 50 authors all together and illustrators, I've seen a lot of crying tears go on at these reveals. Some people are just knocked down about how close it is to the story. And I know, like you know, a lot of times, hey, Kat, how you doing? A lot of times the cover is what gets people to open a book. Now, it shouldn't be that way, but it is. And I'm guilty of it myself. I'll be walking along and I'll see this cover. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And in all fairness, people, I've seen some really great covers with some really crappy stories. I'm not going to lie. But still, it got me to look at the book or to read the book. So, you know, it is important. I know people sometimes don't give the covers enough credit, but covers are important on what you're going to look at and what you're not. So if you've heard about a story, a book, yeah, you might go read it because somebody told you, oh, hey, John, you know, that was really good. You ought to go read this story. Or, you know, well, it's an anthology. There's 12 of them in here. Yeah. Yeah, Chrissy, there's 12 stories in here. Sometimes there's actually more. Well, actually, no, I think there's 13, right? Isn't there a story for the cover?
Yeah, well, there's 12 winning stories in this volume. Sometimes there's a published finalist if the volume is a little thinner. Some of the shorter stories won that year. But there's also several professional level. S.M. Sterling was in this one. Kevin J. Anderson was in this one.
Yes.
And there's always an L. Ron Hubbard story in there, as well as one of his essays. So there's usually three additional stories in there.
So plus the 12. People right there. The two he just mentioned, in case y'all didn't know who he just mentioned. What is with this phone today? Dean Wesley Smith is an interesting character in himself. Jody Lanai, she's out of all the judges I've had on the thing, she holds the record for most listens. I don't know why, but she holds the record for most listens. And yeah, makes no sense. It's hard to even know why certain judges get certain listens or certain. Well, because Chris, they're both. They're there to do lectures. So, all right, how do I explain this? So when they're there, they're not really judges anymore. They were judges weeks earlier. Now they're actually there for lectures. They're speakers, really. That's really what they're there for. So, by the way, they don't get paid for this. No, the judges and the speakers don't get paid for this. They're there now. L. Ron pays for everything. They pay for hotel rooms, the airfare, the food, the whole nine yards. But they're giving their valuable time up for free while they're there doing these lectures. Oh, yeah. What do you mean? I don't get paid, no. I don't pay for anything, but I don't get paid, no. Well,
I might suggest Jody has a lot of listens because she's the current coordinating judge. And I know that right before I won, it was the fourth quarter. So I had four quarters really, to study her to find out what makes her tick and what made her different from Dave Farland when he was judging. So I paid attention to everything she was doing at the time to pick up any tidbit that might help me. And I did pick one up when she said she really likes humor in stories. And so I really focused on trying to get a couple of funny jokes or lines in there. Despite what you can see in the picture is happening, the characters have a kind of interplay that I'm sure would not have been in there had I not heard that she really likes the humor in there.
So what are you listing your story as? I mean, as far as the different things like mystery and sci-fi, what are you actually listing it as?
We'll call it a first contact science fiction story.
Okay.
And on Earth.
Well, the reason I ask is because I've noticed in the last 4 years, the amount of science fiction in these are not as big as I thought they would be. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good stories in here. I don't want to take away from anything because there's a lot of good stories. But they're not what I would consider space science fiction, I guess is what I'm saying. So I enjoy anytime, you know, I can't help myself. I'm a geek at heart. I'm a big ass nerd. What can I say? I can't help myself. When there's anything sci-fi, I'm going to read it no matter what. I may regret it later on, but I'm going to read it. Or I'm going to watch it, whichever comes first.
I'll tell you the reason, part of the reason for that, Joe, is that when Jody selects the eight finalists, they're not going to be eight spaceship in space stories or eight first contact stories. So she selects kind of one from each genre or genre bender. And then the next quarter, she'll do the same thing. And so at most in the volume, if the judges vote for a space story every quarter, the most you're going to have is four. But even that's going to be unlikely because you might have the same judge two quarters in a row. And he might say, oh, I voted first place for the space story last time. So that's how you end up with such varied stories in there, is she selects high quality, varied stories to give to the judges for the final three.
Yeah, so Karen, no, what he's okay. You're getting confused. So Karen, that is blind judge. Jody Lynn. And so the way that works is they have a coordinating judge that goes through these stories. And actually I think next year there's going to be three of them because they're getting that much stuff turned in. So they go through and they find the very best stories and they send these to the judges. When they send them to the judges, they have no name and they have a number. That's it. There's no sex, color, no male, female, whatever you might want to be, is not mentioned in the story at all. All it is a story with a number on it, and that's all the judges get. Well, that's one of the reasons I flew down there, because I didn't believe them when they told me that. I was like, you're full of shit. Nobody does that. I was. You can ask John Goodwin. I was rude to John. I like John. We're friends. We're pretty good friends these days, and we get along pretty well. But he has a show on the network, Writers of the Future, Writers and Illustrators of the Future. It's on Mondays at 4 o'clock. But no, that's one of the reasons I went down to meet everybody. I didn't believe that there was a lot of things I didn't believe. But now, of course, I've been there with them 4 years. I found out that everything they've told me so far is exactly what it is. I've been happy. Well, I've been to judging things in New York and other things in California, down in Florida. And a lot of times I find out that the person had to pay like $500 up front. They had to submit their artwork and then pay a fee and things like that. And so that's not exactly the same here. They don't pay for everything for these guys, but they fly them in. They put them up at the hotel. And what they don't pay for food or the talks, right?
That's pretty much it. Everything else was covered. I covered food and tux and I mean souvenirs, of course, but yeah, that's it. Yeah. Otherwise, everything else was done.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Well, a friend of mine, Chris, who's actually in, where's he at right now? He is in Poland, not Poland. Yeah, he's in Poland right now. He was in Australia. They flew him up from Aussie land. Last year, they flew 3 people in from the UK. Yeah, on their ticket, not on their. I mean, they're paying for this. So, you just got to submit and win. And it's not, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's competition. But if you win, it is a big feather in your cap, especially when you're going out into the real world saying, hey, look, I've got to win that Writers of the Future.
I'll tell you the number that I heard thrown around for a guess or an approximation of how much is spent on each winner. And there's 24, 25, or 26 winners each year. It was $20,000.
Yeah, it's about right when you figure in hotel rooms and they always put us up at a nice hotel. Lowe's was different this year. We've been at the Roosevelt for the 3 years before that. Roosevelt's a different kind of hotel. Roosevelt's actually closer to Arthur Services and Galaxy Press. It's like half a block away. Lowe's was a little bit farther away, but it didn't really matter. It's the Lowe's Hotel, people. I don't know if I liked it. I think I liked the Roosevelt better. Roosevelt had a little bit more style, but that's just me. I like my room better at the Roosevelt. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm not even gonna lie. It was easier. Well, for doing what I do, it was easier to do interviews. Well, you want room because you want to, you know, especially if you have 4 or 5 people in the room, you want enough room separating everybody that it's not an issue. We don't need like the huge room they got upstairs. No, that's a waste of time. So all I can tell y'all is keep an eye out for TJ. He's going to be out there making some money, writing some novels, some novellas, some anthology. Actually, I've met a couple of the authors that have actually written their own anthologies now. I had one on week before last, Lazarus Black. He is Echo Chernik's old man. Yeah, she's a coordinating judge for the illustrators, yes. Echo is I can you got to meet her. That's all I can tell you. You just got to meet Echo. I can't tell you anything else. I'll get in trouble. Joni is great, but you got to meet Joni, too, to understand who Joni is. Joni is the whirlwind. If y'all don't know what the whirlwind is, look it up. But she's the whirlwind. She is like nonstop, bouncing off of shit all day long. That's what she does. And then there's the Goodwins, who are actually running everything. John and Emily. John is the president of Galaxy Plus, and I think Emily is VP. They are nonstop. Emily is a workaholic. Oh, yes, she's a workaholic. I give her shit about it all the time. Because I can give them crap because I don't work for them and I'm not a winner. and I'm not a judge.
Walk the line.
You know, I'm different. I'm like the different creature there. I'm like the plucky entertainment man. Actually, you must have been watching Galaxy Quest because that's where I heard that at. The guy who walked around kept saying he was going to get killed until the engineer said, well, maybe you'd have plucky relief entertainment. Yeah, that's from that Goofy movie. So getting back to what you wrote, when you said that about comedy, so this is a thing for me, and it's different for different generations, but I grew up on sci-fi. No matter how horrible or how bad it was, there was always a little bit of comedy in there, always. Oh, the guy's about to get his head lopped off in an elevator, but somebody got to crack a joke. I just grew up with that. So it's hard for me when I see straight out sci-fi with no comedy as relief in it. Mm. Because one thing I've learned from my own personal life, and I've been in some hairy, scary situations and some of the stuff I've done over the years, you're going to crack a joke. It's like whistling in the dark. You can't help yourself. You're about to get slaughtered by something. It's just one of those things that something along the line is going to make you laugh. You get so much fear that it actually brings out comedy. And that's actually a fact in the way humans work. So I'm kind of amiss when I don't see it in certain types of mysteries and sci-fi and stuff like, because, you know, okay, the evil wizard's coming to wipe your ass out. But meanwhile, your little kid's running around, you know, with the sword and the thing playing Thor or something. It's just part of life. Comedy is part of life. I don't mean don't make it into a, whoever wrote that. That was just stupid. I don't mean make it into a comedy because there's really good sci-fi there. But you mean Battlestar Galactica. Oh, Jesus. Okay. There is no comparing the old Galactica to the new Galactica, mainly because the old Galactica is campy. Yes, there was a lot of comedy in it, but it was just a campy kind of thing at the time. The new Galactica was a much more serious. It was trying to make Galactica, the old Galactica, into something serious. It's just they took it too far. Unfortunately, Starbuck was a dog in the old one, and Starbuck wasn't in this one, and that was half of the movie in the old one, so I don't know how that worked out. I noticed it didn't do well, so what can you say? Star Trek does well because every Star Trek episode has comedy. It doesn't matter. Look, the Enterprise is blowing up and crashing into the planet, and they're still cracking a joke. I'm just telling you, it's different. So I like that for Jody, and I'm glad you included that in there because I don't need a lot, just a little bit, just something to make me smile for a second. It doesn't have to be a lot.
Yeah. That was my 32nd story, and in the first 31 stories, I had total one joke. And my 32nd story wins, and it's got lots of levity and brevity, not brevity, levity in it, and probably not an accident.
Well, see, people need to smile. You can blow shit up as long as people are smiling. Don't ask me. You can be nuking the whole planet as long as you crack jokes.
He's right. Yeah.
That's just bad on our part as humans. What's that, Denise? You can get it. You can get a story right now in volume 39. He won't get it for a little while yet. And then I guess he can re-release it as a single. That sounded like I was talking about records or something, but
yeah, no, that's not a bad term, but that's correct.
So I mean, there you go. You can get it either way. Well, you know what? You can wait and get it from him, or you can do both. You can get it now, and then you can get it from him too. Well, we're all starving artists, my friend. So, you know, even if we're not, we all are. No, helping out. So, you got anything else out there they can find or read or take a look at or website out or?
Yes, in fact, I have numerous things published under my real names, and I put quotes around that, which is Dustin, Dustin, Adams, Adams. And so I've been around for a while publishing little things here and there, and Daily Science Fiction is a website where some of my best work is up. And you can find it now. It's just on there forever. They bought it, and they just put it up. So some of my best stuff is there, but I switched over to TJ Knight as an author name for personal reasons, but I'm glad I did because I'm really happy to have that name in this book.
Yes, well, I think it fits the story. So it's I've never heard that other than in his name. No, you think of TJ Hooker Doofball. Cheese on pizza.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, you're on crack. You're not even allowed to speak anymore in the chat tonight. That's
yeah. No. Well, Shatner was Shatner was in Star Trek. They're just making connections.
Yeah, somebody's making so. Yeah, you must be living in one of them states where marijuana is legal, right? I'm just teasing. Don't take it personal. Well, we still got a couple minutes, but so go out and check out his work and see. You know, write to the man, tell him you like it. You know, you get volume 39. I'm not giving any away for a couple of weeks. No, sorry, guys. And all the things I got right now, Arthur, these are all special copies. They're all autographed. And these, the two I got here, like this one, are very special autographed. Well, first off, they were autographed by everybody at the night that they were doing autographs. Well, Tom Wood wasn't there that night because his plane didn't come until the next day. So these have special autographs from Tom. But more than that, They have autographs from the family members of the winners at the night of the gala. I was going around getting their family members to sign into the book. So these are very, very special. These are very unique, one of a kind. You're never going to see these anywhere else but from me. And all the ones I've got 2, 4, 6, 8 of these from, I got 36, 37, 38, and 39. They're all done like that. And yes, no, they're not going to, just part of my collection. Sorry, guys. Don't get nasty. Well, I talked with Emily and John about other autographed copies, and we might give some of those away. The standard ones, we might give a few of those away later in the year. But what I would do is I'd get one of them, and I would catch one of these guys because so you're in New York, so what's the closest good con to you? Don't they have one? Isn't there one in Boston? What the hell? Somebody's just telling me about one.
New York is the closest con.
Well, because I was asking, because Writers of the Future go to a lot of these guys. I know they're going to be at Fan X. I met the owner of Fan X, and she's a very nice guy. They're going to be at Dragon Con. They're going to be at San Diego Con and a bunch more besides that. So if you see, there's usually going to be authors at these different conferences that are there. So you can bring your book and have them signed, or you can buy an autographed special copy from them with just their autograph in it. No, they're always there. Well, because a lot of them have their own tables. So they'll come hang out with John and Emily over at Galaxy Press for a while. Yes. No, they don't make me be rude. No. I'm going to say this one time. I'm only going to say this one time. Scientology has nothing to do with Writers of the Future. Other than the fact that L. Ron sponsors it, it has nothing to do with it. It's not mentioned.
Yeah, I can back that up.
Yeah, it's not talked about. Nobody gives a good crap. They're not trying to indoctrinate anybody. No, it's not what it is. It's nothing like that. Well, yes, a lot of them there are from Scientology, but no. So I'm going to tell you this like this. If I had to judge, because you know how I am about religions to start off with. If I had to judge this religion by its people, oh, man. I mean, John and Emily and Joni and the bunch. Oh, no, these are really good people. I would kick out a lot of religions and put them in their place. I mean, they're really nice people. So you have to judge everybody by their actions, and their actions so far have been exactly what they're supposed to be.
No. Here's a good analogy that I use when people ask me that question. Is I tell them that when I go to a chili cook-off at a church, they don't talk about religion. They talk about chili.
Damn right. And that's how it is. That's a good analogy too. And that's how it is at the author thing. This is what it's about. It is about the writers and the illustrators. It's not about writers, and yep. Know this. None of the judges are Scientologists, and they would actually get offended if it came up in this. I've talked to them about this. So no, you don't have to worry about it. It's just the people who work for Galaxy Press and Author Services, and everybody else is exactly who and what they say they are, and everybody is nice. There's nothing. No, they're not going to push on me because I'd be an ass. But they're not pushing on anybody because I asked. I've been through 4 years now, and I asked. I ask people. Even now, even after 4 years, I will still ask from time to time. I'll ask one of the authors and illustrators, or they'll ask me. But no, so far, it's been exactly what it is. I like things the way they are. Yeah, I know. I'm always scared the other shoe is going to drop, but so far, they've been keeping both their boots on their feet.
You know how fast that would get out if that were the case? It would spread like wildfire, and no one would enter the
it would be the end of them. As TJ just said, it would be the end of the Writers of the Future Awards. It has to stay separate. It has to. L. Ron didn't do this because of Scientology. He did this because he was an author, and in the beginning this was just for authors. They added illustrators later on. He did this because he was a prolific author who wrote tons of stuff and wrote two books with over 100,000 words each in an easy. I think one was 150,000. And the one was 100,000 was the one John Travolta was in, Battlefield Earth. And the bigger one was actually Mission Earth, which I've been listening to. John sent it to me in audio. So it's a great audio book. It's got all kind of crazy sound effects in it. The protagonist is a complete and utter moron. I will warn you, if you get your hands on a copy, it does start off a little slow. But just kind of get past that first third. It's 10 sections. I guess you could call them chapters, but I'm doing an audio. So the last audio one was the first chapter. It had 56 different 3 or 4 minute pieces in it, just to give you an idea of what you're getting into. I played it every year. That and the other one I play along with War of the Worlds for the holidays. So it plays for a whole week. It's 40 hours long, and it pays for the whole week, so you can listen to it, you know, every day. It's a lot of fun. And then we do War of the Worlds because, you know, we just do War of the Worlds, and we do Battlefield Earth. So we do them all. It's a lot of fun, and there's something else we play besides that. One of the rock operas we played on the holidays. It's just different, you know, because we do talk a lot of talk radio, and during the holidays we try to ease off of, you know, a lot of the stuff we talk about because it's really not holiday appropriate. It's you know, the news definitely isn't. A lot of the stories we talk about aren't. So we're just trying to do our share and letting everybody have a good holiday. But TJ, I know we got to get you out of here. It's already 5 after. I'm surprised the other host hasn't cussed me yet.
Actually, real quick, Joe, can you, I don't know if you can see the link in the private chat. There's a Zoom with Books a Million this Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I do see it. So
I don't know if you can paste that to the general chat, but there's autographed. They're selling autographed copies of the book this Saturday. So and we're gonna, I don't know if you have to be there in person or if you can order them from them. I don't know the answer to that, but there's a Zoom call to tune in. They may have that answer. So if anyone does want one, it's fine.
Okay, guys, it's in the scrolling banner as well. So if you're listening to the show later on and you can't find this link because it won't be in private chat after we close in, it will be at the end of the show, scrolling across the bottom of the banner. So you'll see it right there. All you got to do is stay and hang into the last few minutes of the show, and it'll be there. I'll put a footnote in the title when I post this one in a little while that you find. I'll probably include this link somewhere in the beginning so y'all can find it along with a little footnote. But TJ, you're great. I had a lot of fun, man. I'm glad you came and hung out with us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Most of this is already up. As soon as I hit end broadcast, most of this will go up by itself. As far as it won't be back on Ustream on Roku for a couple of days. It usually takes me about 2 days to get them back up on Roku, but it's on all of our YouTube and Facebook, and you can use it for whatever you want to. We tell people all the time, you know, they're there for whatever. If you want somebody to hear about you or listen to it, they're there to be used. We don't really use them for anything but for what y'all do. So I always remind the illustrators and the authors, look, they're your archives. Use them for whatever you want. Yeah, the full permission of the station. We don't mind. It's not like it's a paid archive or anything. So it's a freebie archive. But on that note, we got to go again. TJ, thanks for hanging out. Can't wait to your next book. Please send it out to me when you get it. Oh, wait. You know what? Let me show you what I do when y'all give me books. So you couldn't see it because I wasn't. But you see over there where the skull is? That's all books over there. So the one on the far left next to that lamp is Steve Percy. He's one of the winners. That's his hard copy he gave me. That's Non-Humans in the middle. That's from a different author. All the rest you see stacked, of course, or author, Writers of the Futures. If you look in the back there, that's where the real books are. That is all the collective work of all the great philosophers, if you're brave enough to read them. This picture back here is from Battlefield Earth. Of course, John sent me that.
Yeah, I recognize that.
So, guys and girls, you know, get out there, get your book. Check out this link. Go check it out you know, get a book, people. Support authors. Because let me tell you what. Oh, next time I have you on, you know, we'll talk about AI. I've been leaving alone lately. Because Jeff Weiner came on. He's one of the winners from 2 years ago. And he came on a couple months ago. Tell you how ignorant I am. I knew nothing about either one of these. Not to this extent, anyway. He comes on, he says, give me a paragraph. I give him a paragraph. I'm going to make you what did he say? He's going to make me a cartoon. What the hell is your comic book? So he goes, he says, so not only does it make all the stories, it makes the little balloon and put the little words in it, but it made the artwork along with it. It made a full comic book out of one paragraph. And it was pretty damn good. I was like, I got instantly pissed. And I'm not even an author. I got instantly pissed. I'm not kidding you. I got off the phone and called John Greenwood and said, what the hell are we doing about this? This is bullshit. Excuse my language, people, but if y'all know what we're talking about, y'all need to get educated on this because this is one of these things, along with the illustration, they're going to try to. Matter of fact, it's being used right now while the strike was going on. Yes, companies were using it to write stories while the strike was going on. So I'm anti against this. Look, I know y'all want to. Everybody wants to be a great author and this, that, and the other thing. And so you know, if you use AI anything, you can't copyright it. So it's not yours. You can go out and say you made it, but it's not yours. So it doesn't matter. But let the authors do their work. That's what they're out there for. Let the illustrators do their work. That's what they're there. Don't be cheap shit. Pay these people for what they do and what they're worth. And, you know, tell them their stories are good. Let them know that you appreciate the work. I do say that all the time, but I didn't come from me. It came from one of the judges. Don't ask mom and dad about your artwork or your books. Yeah, that's, I forgot which judge told me that, but they said, no, bring it to a group, bring it to some friends, but bring it to somebody who's going to tell you the truth. Oh, my mom would have told me the truth. She'd say, oh my God, this is horrible. Throw this away. But while we're on that note, somebody's mom and dad did say the story was horrible, and guess what? It won. Not only that, it won first place. I know. Ain't that a bitch, huh? I know. So anyway, again, TJ, thanks for coming on. Anytime you want to come by, anything, you got anything new, just let me know or let Cameron know. Carmen know.
Carmen.
You're always welcome to stop by and hang out. And again, thanks for coming by. Guys and girls, we're going to get out of here. Be sure to go check out TJ. It's TJ Knight. Yeah, just type it in. You know, come on, people. Everybody's watching right now. It's on a computer or on a phone.
There you go.
So I know y'all know how to go. Yeah, it's not complicated. I know I'm being a butt, but come on, people. Man, go check him out. You know, show him some love. Let him know y'all are listening tonight. On that note, be sure to hang out because the Outer Realm is coming up with the magnificent and wonderful Michelle DeRoche, and of course, the exalted Amelia Fasan. I don't know who they got. Oh, I think it's Q&A tonight. Oh, I'm going to have to stop by and get in trouble. Oh, shit. On that note, good night, and see y'all Friday for the news.